Hey there, foreigners. This is Rohit from BreakingTheBorders.com, home of the ambitious immigrants. Today's guest is Gaurav Mantri. Gaurav was working in the US in a corporate job, but he had the passion to start his own company. So he moved to India and started a company called Cerebrata, which he built entirely out of the town called Udaipur in Rajasthan. Cerebrata was eventually bought by the software company Redgate. I talked to him about how he built and sold Cerebrata from Udaipur. Here is the interview. Yeah, right. What was the product called, the first product that you didn't know how to market? The
first product was called Omega.SDS Client. SDS was a product called SQL Data Services, which was from Azure. Mm-hmm. So we made a Silverlight-based client for that, and we called it SDS Client.
How many products did you guys release in Cerebrata?
So we started with SDS Client, and the day we released it, you know, the conversation that I had with the product manager, he said, okay, you know, you did great, right? But don't work on it because we are going to dump this product.
And after product that, manager at your company?
No. So it's in Microsoft.
Oh, product manager at Microsoft. Okay.
Microsoft. Yeah. So he said, okay, you know, we are changing directions. You know, what you did was great. So then, you know, after that, we built Cloud Storage Studio, and then we built Azure Diagnostics Manager. Then we built Azure Management Commandlets. And then the last product, which is still selling, is Azure Management Studio. So 4 or 5 products in all.
Okay. So how does it work? You're talking about working with a product manager at Microsoft, right? I'm not too familiar with the software space. So, like, basically, they already have a platform, and whoever, it's open for anyone to build products. Is that how it is?
That's exactly how it is. So what Microsoft has done with Azure is they have exposed their underlying infrastructure through some APIs. And essentially, you know, what you do is you consume the REST APIs and build your applications.
I see.
That's what we did.
And how did you pick Microsoft application? Because when you moved to India, it sounded like the whole world was open, right?
So let me take you back 10 years, right? Before, you know, so 98, I moved to US. In 99, we did a startup, me and a friend of mine, we did a startup in the US during the dot-com, you know, boom time. And, you know, so we managed to sell that company in 2000. And, but we did not make any money out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, so because the company that acquired us got, you know, bust, you know, within, I would say 6 months of acquiring us. So we did not get any money. But, you know,
but they already acquired you, right? That means you were paid already.
No. So the agreement that we had with them was that they would pay us after 2 years.
Okay.
So we got royally screwed on that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, you know, so from that, you know, from that time, you know, it kind of, you know, that this whole bug, you know, bit me. And then, you know, after that, so that was in 2000. So since 2000, you know, I have been building products, right? In my spare time. So, in my day job, you know, I was doing programming in a language called ColdFusion, which is from Adobe now, right? So, you know, but then in the evening when I come home, you know, I started building products on the side. So I built, I started building a survey authoring engine, right? I built it for, you know, 3-4 years, never released it. So that was a way for me to learn new things. And, you know, so at some point of time, I never released that product. And at some point of time, that product became unmanageable. I said, okay, I'm not, you know, I can no longer work on this product. So then I started working on another product. So, you know, that came out as a, you know, kind of as a necessity in our office, because we were doing, in my company where I was working, we were using Oracle database, right? And there was no, you know, documentation around the database. So what I thought was that, you know, it would be nice to build a product, you know, which can document the database so that, you know, developers can define the, you know, okay, what this column is for or what this field is for and all those kinds of things.
I see.
So I started. So
and that's Oracle not an inbuilt functionality in the SQL Oracle
not,
database.
There was not.
I see.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So Oracle was a, you know, massive Oracle. I haven't worked Oracle in a while, but at that time it was a massive beast. So I said, okay, let me start with SQL Server, Microsoft SQL Server. So I started building that documentation utility, and one thing lead to another. I ended up building a browser-based database explorer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you could, you know, you could create tables, you could, you know, or you could manage your complete database through that product.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this time when I built this thing, I said, okay, I'm going to release it.
Mm-hmm.
So I released the product. I reached out to a few folks, you know, I searched around on internet, and anybody who had a SQL Server in their blog or something, I reached out to them. And, you know, they appreciated it,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, then I thought that, hey, living in the US, doing, you know, doing a full-time job as well as managing the product, I don't think it is possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because you have so many liabilities in the US, right? I mean, you have
yeah.
to take care of your mortgage and, you know, whatnot, right? So I said, I cannot leave my day job, right? And continue to work on this product.
Yeah.
And I think that was the trigger point for me to come to India.
Yeah, and did you
the product?
Do you remember the day you decided? Okay, you know what? I think I'm going to go to India.
No, so me and my wife, we have been thinking about this for a long time. So it was not like a, you know, a deja vu moment that, hey, you know, we are going to go back to India. So we talked a lot, and you know, we had a pretty you know, good life in the US,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and so we talked a lot that, okay, what are we going to do and all that. And then I think in February 2008, we kind of, and, you know, there were a number of other things that were happening, which, you mm-hmm. know, now, you know, even at that time, I thought they were blessing in disguise.
What
right?
was it?
So, you know, I was like, you know, the chosen one when it came to the green card. I uh-huh. used to call myself Neo on that, you know, on the Neo, the chosen one, right?
Uh-huh.
Matrix.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I never got a green card.
Ah,
you know,
okay.
I was 10 years in the US. I was on H-1B. And then in 2007, you know, there was something happened, and that, you know, some event happened in my company, and that kind of ensured that I would never get a green card.
Or well, some layoffs or something which will
no,
make
not
it very
layoffs, but you know, so essentially my company got acquired,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, I got transferred, and, you know, so my whole application, the green card application, went into disarray.
Okay. And it
right.
has to start from a new company again, which means you have to start from scratch.
But I did not, you know, I did not raise alarm. I said, you know, it's a good sign,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, worst case scenario, if things don't work out by the end of the year, right, I will move to Canada. You know,
mm-hmm.
so the company that acquired us, they had a big development center in Canada. So I said, okay, you know, but let's not bring this issue up, you know, if, you know, it's a good opportunity for me to go to India.
Okay.
Right. So then, you know, in February of 2008, I made a kind of a soul searching trip to India. So I came alone, and I, you know, so by that time we have decided that, yes, we are going to India. So the question came, okay, where are we going to stay in India? So, you know, obviously big places were out. You know, I did not want to come to Bangalore or, you know, Delhi or anything like that.
Why not?
So, I mean, you know, I think I would have been better off in US, right? I mean, you know, the life there is, it's not that good. I mean, you know, commute is really bad. I mean, you know, you spend hours and hours in commute. You know, I don't want to do that, right? If I want to do that, I would rather stay in the US, right? And then, you know, another reason for coming to India is to stay close to parents, right? I mean, you stay in Bangalore or you stay in US, it's more or less the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you will take, you know, it's not like every other weekend you will, you know, you will say, hey, let's go visit our parents.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it had to be, you know, the place where I want to come back to has to be close to a place where, you know, my parents were.
Which was
Right. So it was either Jaipur or Udaipur. So Jaipur, because, you know, I did my engineering from Jaipur. So that place was, you know,
special.
I had a lot of friends there, some relatives there. So that was one place. And then the second one was obviously Udaipur.
Which is your hometown, right?
Which is my hometown.
Okay.
So I came to Jaipur. I stayed there for a couple of days. And, you know, between 94 when I graduated from my engineering school and 2008, it had changed a lot. So, I mean, I kind of got scared. It got a big city appeal, right? So, I mean, you know, that was not something I was looking for. So then we decided that, okay, we will go to Udaipur. And
Udaipur didn't get that feel yet. It was still more like a small town at
home.
That time.
Yeah, it still is home. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So I got the home feeling and everything, and so that's when we decided that. Okay,
so in your soul searching trip, right? You specifically went to chalk out places which are potential for moving back. Was that the purpose, or was it something else?
That's what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
So at that time, you know. Only thing that I had in mind is that I have a product. I want to work on that product on a full-time basis, and that was the reason, you know, I moved. I mean, that made me move to India.
Okay.
on the professional front.
Mm-hmm. And when did you finally move to India?
July 2008. So in 4 months, we moved back.
So what did you do in your 4 months?
4 months. I had a house to sell. Right. So I owned a house in the US. So, you know, after coming, so, you know, February is when my son's birthday is. So after our son's birthday, we put the house on sale. I came to India, and then I had been with my company for a long time. So out of 10 years in the US, 9 years, I was with my company. Right.
What company was it?
So the name of the company right now, the name of the company is Active Network.
Active Network. Okay.
Yeah. So they are into outdoor recreation.
I see. And what do they do in outdoor recreation?
Outdoor recreation. So they do a number of things. But I mean, you know, so my division, or, you know, the company that they acquired us, we actually specialized in campground reservation systems.
I see. Yeah, so it is the same company which owns active.com, which manages registrations for half marathons and marathons, right?
Right. Yes. So that's active.com. But, you know, so where are you based out of?
I'm in Bay Area. I'm in San Jose, and I use active.com all the time to register for half marathons here.
Oh, okay. So, for example, you know, you want to go camping in Yosemite, right? So you will go on to, you know, national park sites.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So at one point of time, we used to manage the reservation. So the website for managing the campground reservations in Yosemite and in Redwood and all those national parks. Right. So that was managed by us. So that was my company's specialty.
And then at this time you had this idea on the side, right? So what was the idea at that time with which you wanted to move to India?
So it's that whole SQL Server Explorer, browser-based SQL Server Explorer. So the idea was, the product was to allow users to manage their SQL Server databases through a browser-based interface. So Microsoft had this tool called SQL Server Management Studio. They still have that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a desktop application, right? So, so I wanted to build, you know, or I ended up building a browser-based equivalent of SQL Server Management Studio.
Okay.
And I wanted to, expand that product, work more on that product. And with that product, you know, with that idea, I came to, you know, India.
I see. So, and the tool itself will help you add more description and stuff like that to
not
the database,
that,
right?
But not only that, but also manage the data manage the database structure, manage the data in the database and everything.
I see. And you had this idea. Were you already trying to implement it in your company at that time? Because it was valuable for them as well, right?
No, I never did that because see, my product was for SQL Server, and in my company we did not use SQL Server at all.
I see.
Right?
And
Yeah.
then how did your manager at that time help you with your move to India, which you mentioned somewhere on your blog?
Okay, so you know that's a very interesting story, and I will always be grateful, you know, to my manager and his boss and everybody. So the story is, so you know, I did not have any source of revenue when I made that you know decision to come back. So you know, one day my boss took me out for lunch, and he said that okay, you know, okay, you are going to India, right? So what are you going to do? And I told him that, okay, this is the product that I'm working on. So he said, I don't want to hear about your product, right? But he said that, you know, so, but what are you going to do other than that? I said, you know, I don't know. Then what he suggested is that, you know, so the company that acquired us, they actually had a captive unit in China, right? So they have this captive unit in China, and my boss's boss was after my boss that, hey, why don't you move some of your stuff to the China development team? Right? So I told my boss, and we were against that because of the time difference between East Coast and you know China. So I said, okay, you know, I'm going to India. India is what, 2.5 hours ahead of China. So I will get, you know, enough you know time overlap with the team in China, right? Plus, you know, I will get enough time overlap with the team in the US. So let me act as a liaison between your US team and China team. Let me, you know, prepare the China team. You know, I've been working with this business for 9 years. I know a lot about this business. I can prepare your team in China.
So it
So,
was
you
your
know.
boss's idea actually, and you didn't come up with that, sounds like.
No. So I just went along with it. Right, and then he said, okay, fine. So we you know we talked about it, and then he proposed this idea to his boss, and he agreed. So you know, I came to India with a contract with my company,
I
with
see.
my
So,
you know,
and
previous
you
company.
were doing that contract still as an employee of the old company, or were
No,
you doing it as
so
a
I
part of your own
no,
company?
as an independent contractor.
Oh, as an independent contractor, I see.
Yeah.
And at this time, you already moved to Udaipur. And
Yeah.
how did you convince the first person to join your company?
Actually, it was not very tough. I mean, you know, so at that time in 2008 when I came back, so you know, there was this massive recession going on, right? So what had happened is that, and you know, so I came back in what, in July, and you know, around August and September, I started recruiting people, right? So you know, people who had, you know, the people got placed in campuses, right? But because of the recession, you know, they were not being called, right? To join. So, you know, my first employee or my first team member was cousin of my very close friend, you know, my childhood friend. So he already had an offer and from another company, but they were not giving him joining date. So, you know, my friend asked if he could join me. I said, fine, you know, I mean, if he works for 3 months or 6 months, he will learn something, you know, I will get some company, right? And so, you know, I hired first guy, and then, you know, one thing, you know, led to another. And, you know, I think within a month, we had five, six people team.
Did you have an office at that time?
Yeah. So with my first team member, you know, we used to work out of our home. So in my home, I occupied a room and converted that into office. But then, you know, then I got a proper office, and then, you know, so from second, I think from second employee onwards, I mean, you know, yes, we used to sit in the office.
I see. So you seem to have hired mostly new college graduates at that time, right?
Yeah.
And you had 10 years of experience programming, but all these graduates did not.
Yeah.
But they are the ones who are going to build your product eventually. So how did they go from like fresh college grads to being proficient at programming?
So, you know, they went through hell. You know, I am, I consider myself a tough taskmaster, right? So what we did was, so they went through a rigorous training, right? And it was very collaborative training. I mean, you know, so I was also, so we used .NET to do the development. And in fact, you know, even, you know, I was not that much of an expert in dot was not an expert in .NET. So I used to read with them, right? So every day, you know, so they used to read, and then every day we used to have a, you know, meeting and everything. So, you know, that went for about a few months,
So what was
right?
rigorous about it? That doesn't sound like rigorous to me.
We had a separate room in my office, and if somebody gets called to that room, right, that means, you know, they are in big trouble. So it was it so people used to call it Kop Bhavan, right?
What does that mean?
Kop Bhavan is where, you know, you go and make sorrow, right?
Kobe,
So
okay. Kobe Saro,
right,
okay, got it.
yeah, that's where Kaikeyi went, you know, when she asked for vanvas of Ram. She went to Kop Bhavan, and so, you know, that's when, so people, you know, so I made sure that, you know,
What would happen in that Kobe and that everyone got so scared of it?
I mean, you know, those things should stay in on the, you know, in those four walls only. No, but yeah, I mean, you know, so it was, you know, I actually did not think of them as freshers, I think, you know. So I gave the, I, you know, what I told them is to act responsibly, right? You know, so there was not much spoon feeding going on. So they did stuff, you know, they learned stuff, they did stuff, they made mistakes, you know, and, you know, so what? Everybody makes mistake. But, you know, so, but don't make, you know, I told them not to make the same mistakes over and over again.
Yeah, any mistakes that costed you at that time in the initial days?
Not really, no.
They're all smaller mistakes,
Small
mostly,
things, yeah. Small things, yeah.
so. I see. And when did you release your first product?
Okay, so I came with the product for SQL Server Explorer, but then, you know, what happened was at that time, you know, Azure was up and coming, you know. So Microsoft released Azure, and I heard about their SQL data services, which they were saying it is SQL Server in the cloud. So I thought that, hey, you know, we already got a product for SQL Server, you know, on premises, you know, that kind of thing. So let me build a product on for SQL Server in the cloud. And that's when I built SDS client, Omega.SDS client. So what happened was, so you know, in that process, we kind of dumped the product I came, you know, came with from US. So we stopped working on that product, and then we started working on SDS client. And I think the first one we released on 7th January 2009.
That was pretty
So
quick, right? You moved in July, and by 7 January, that was a couple of a few months only.
yeah, and that too, you know, these freshers, they built the product.
Wow. So
Yeah.
that was pretty fast. So they must be working all around the clock.
No. So, you know, so I think, you know, I tell everybody that, you know, one should work in the US, you know, for at least, you know, 4 or 5 years. You know, it changes your mindset completely. Right? I mean, you know, you start to appreciate things, right? Which we take for granted if we are working here in India. Right? I mean, simple things like, you know, work-life balance and all those kinds of things. So, you know, I had very, you know, strict instructions that, okay, you know, you will come at 9:30 to office, right? And you must leave by, you know, no later than, you know, 6:30. And you know, you know, usually I was the first one to leave. You know, I left office, you know, 5:30 or so. I don't remember us staying, you know, maybe once or twice we stayed in office beyond 7 p.m.
I see. So it was pretty lean and quick in that sense. I see. So when you first released your product, your first product SDS client, which was based on the Microsoft Azure platform, actually for someone who is not technical at all, how do you explain A Azure? Can you
So Azure is it's a cloud computing platform from Microsoft. So it has a number of things, but so it offers you public cloud where people like you and me can go and host our applications, right? It also offers private cloud. So I mean, if you are a big healthcare company or a big bank, right, where you are not allowed to host your applications in a public cloud where you want controlled access, then you could go and use Microsoft Azure for your applications. But in a nutshell, it is a cloud. It's a cloud computing of it's a cloud from Microsoft. That's what it is,
I see.
right? So
So you released the product in January of 2009. Were you how did the customer started coming and using your product? How did the marketing or how did that product get known in the community?
okay, so yeah, so what happened was that on the day when we released it, right, so I had a conversation with the product manager and he said, okay, go post it on MSDN forums, right, tell the world about your product. So I went in there and
Did
I
you know
signed
what
up.
MSDN Forums was at that time?
No, on that day I did not. On that day I did not. So I went in, I signed up on that day, and my first post was on that, hey guys, we have built this thing and all that. And then I went to sleep, right? I mean, so it was like 9:30, 10 or something like that, I posted. Next day morning, we had someone from UK wrote a blog post about our product. So it was very rewarding, right? I mean, so one day you are completely unknown, nobody knows about you, right? And the other day, and the guy who wrote the blog post about our product, I mean, he was a bo he still is, a guru in SQL Server and SQL Server database related things.
Oh,
So
who's that
also,
guy?
his name is Jamie Thompson. So he is based out of UK. So he wrote a blog post about our product, and he was all praises for it. So that gave us a lot
So
of
the guy from
confidence.
SQLblog.com? I see.
So I'm still good friends with him, and whenever we get a chance, we talk, right? But so that guy was the first one to write a blog post about us,
And what did it
right?
do, that blog post do to your product?
Yeah, about our product.
Yeah, no, what did the blog post do to your product? What was the good thing that
Obviously, I mean, this guy. So what happened was then more and more people started using it, right? And when we released the product, we did not have a commercial model in mind, right? That how are we going to commercialize it? We just wanted to build something, so we built it, right? So but then we wanted to see that how people are using it, whether or not people are using the product or not. So that gave us confidence, right? And that changed. I think that one learning that I got from that product is that if you have built something, just release it, right? Don't hold back, right? That okay, whether this product is good or bad, as a product developer, you should not decide whether the product is good or bad. Let your users decide whether the product is good or bad. So I mean, that thing kind of ingrained right into my philosophy, or rather company's philosophy. So from that point onwards, we started churning products like crazy, right? I mean,
When was your next product?
so that was in April.
Okay, within few months. And
Within
what was the
2 months,
product?
it was not complete. So now so the product manager told me that okay, we are not going to continue with this thing. So I said, okay, you know, what are we going to do? So then we looked at Azure
So
Storage.
Continue what thing?
The SQL Data Services client, the SDS client that we
SDS.
Built. So we knew that by April, this product will be dead. Right. So we had to do something. So we said, okay, let's look at, Azure Storage. So we built our product for Azure Storage, and we built that product in pieces, right? I mean, so we did not build the whole thing. So we took one part of it, built it, released it. And, people started using it, started giving us feedback and all that.
What was the product called?
It was called Cloud Storage Studio.
Cloud Storage Studio. Okay.
Yeah.
And April was the first version. Like, how did that product do in its lifetime?
The product did well, right? Again, it was a free product, right? But by that time, you know, I kind of figured out that in 2009, it was not, I mean, because of the limitations of the platform, Azure platform at that point of time, you know, I knew I had to build a desktop application, right? So we built this thing, in parallel, we started working on the desktop version of Cloud Storage Studio, right? And then, you know, that one, we were sure that, okay, we are going to release it commercially. And so we released that product in beta in June of 2009, right?
Already commercially at that time, were you already charging in the beta?
No, it was free. It was free at that time, so it was in beta, and we went live on 1st of January 2010 with that product.
And that was commercially available at that time.
Yeah.
I see. So from 2008 July to 2010 January, how did you pay your employees?
See, I had a contract with my old company, right? So, you know, the building there. So, you know, that's why I said, right, I will forever be indebted to my old company.
But you were actually doing the job of transitioning also at that time as a contractor, right? Was it taking time away from building your company?
Not really. Right. So, I mean, I worked with the team in China in the morning, right, before coming to office. And then, you know, that was the time I used to work with the US team in the evening when I go home.
I see.
So during daytime, it was mostly focused on, working on my product.
I see.
And I had to slog a lot, right? So, I mean, I was working, close to 16, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, you know, so.
Was your wife and family happy about it?
No, but at least I was working from home. So, I mean, you know, that was the saving grace. Right. So, I was not, working out of any office or anything. So that's why, I used to come to home at 5:30, spend some time with family and then, get to work.
And when you released your product commercially, right. And how did you know, like, what to charge for the product and how to get paid customers?
So I'm very bad at marketing. Right. So one thing that I did before, so there are a few things I did, right? I actually reached out to our beta customers, right? And I asked them that, guys, if you want to pay for this thing, if you were asked to pay for this thing, how much would you pay? Right? And I said, please don't say free, right? So they were actually, when I asked them about the pricing thing, they actually, appreciated it a lot, right? That, when somebody is asking for their opinion, right? So they gave some really good inputs on the pricing front, right? Then I reached out to two guys, right? One is Neil Davidson, who is the CEO of Redgate. The company has eventually sold Cerebrator to. So Neil actually had wrote a book on software pricing, and his book was a free ebook called Don't Roll the Dice, right? So I read that book and then I had some questions about it. And then there is another guy I reached out to. His name is Peldy. So I don't know if you do, you know, software mock-ups. So there is a product called Balsamiq,
Balsamiq.
BalsamiQ.
Yeah, I've heard of
Right.
it. My wife is a programmer and she uses it, I think.
Right. So Peldy is the creator of Balsamiq, and so I reached out to him. I asked him, about his thoughts, and those two guys helped me a lot. Right. So but at the end of the day, we went with a gut feeling that okay, nobody knows about us, right? It's an unknown company and all that. So we kind of ended up rolling the dice that let's go with $50, right?
Okay. So
So
what do you get for
yeah.
$50?
So you get a perpetual license of our cloud storage studio product for $50.
Oh wow, that
So
sounds very
yeah,
reasonably priced, right? Cheap.
it is reasonable. It was reasonably priced. Yeah.
Okay. And
And
were your two mentors that you reached out to about pricing, did you tell them what you were charging?
so then once Redgate acquired the product, right? So that time they thought that this product is not priced properly, so they raised the price,
I see.
right?
But so you
So
were
yeah,
charging $15 throughout the lifetime
no,
of the
it's
product.
50, it's not 15, it's
50.
50.
Yeah, 50, 50.
Yeah.
Throughout the lifetime of the product from
No, no,
January of
no, no, no. So
2010.
we increased it. We gradually increased the pricing,
I see.
right? So we increased from 50 to 60, 60 to 70, that kind of thing.
I see.
Yeah, we did that.
What is kanpan.com?
What?
What is.
Kanban.com? Okay, that's the moment when I doubted myself, and I said, okay, I don't think we can do anything good, so let's build. So it
So you
was
doubted
a call.
yourself in your regular product that you're building based on the cloud and
Yes,
based on the databases.
all the time. Yeah.
So that's when you try to do something else.
Right. It's
Okay,
like
got it.
an attempt to pivot, right? But yeah, so it was kind of a. We tried to make do a copy of Zagat, right? So yeah, so that's what we tried to do, and
What
thank
did you
God we
do for
got.
that to build that product out?
We did not build. So we had just one meeting, and internally we had one meeting with the entire team. I went out and I met some restaurant owners, hotel owners. And then I said, okay, I'm not going to do that.
So what convinced you?
So,
Just talking to the restaurant owners, what convinced you about them that you're not going to build the product?
I mean, it's something. So, at that point of time, I think it's the same reason why I did not get into the whole IT services market, right? I mean, Udaipur definitely has its advantages, but then it has a lot of disadvantages also. Right, you cannot really build a product like Kanpan.com or a Zagat like
A
product
consumer-based
sitting
product.
any consumer-based product, you cannot build it in Udaipur, right?
And why
So
do you say
so
that?
we I mean these are very it's you have to find the market, right? Udaipur is not the right market for these kinds of things. I
I
mean,
see.
you could pilot there, but then at the end of the day, if you want to be successful, you have to go out, right? And so yeah, I mean, from time to time, I keep on getting these ideas, right? I mean, these killer ideas where I get really excited about, and then I have some people I go to all the time, and those are the people who keep me, sane. And say, so I get excited about ideas, I get excited all the time, right? I mean, so yeah, I mean, Kanpan.com was one thing. Then I had another idea about something like Yelp, right? And basically the idea is that, to give you an example, you come to Udaipur, right? And then, so the basic idea is that the local knows best, right? Local people know about their city best. So the idea was to build an app where somebody from out of town could come and ask a question and a local would answer it. Right? It's like Yelp. In Yelp, everybody can write a review, but here it is, okay, what is the best place to eat Chinese in Udaipur, right? So somebody who's local to the area will say, okay, go to this place. That kind of thing. So that was another idea. I mean,
any other idea that you actually executed on and didn't do well?
There was one after Cerebrata, I worked on something called Cloud File Exchange. So which was, kind of a file sharing application. And we worked on it for 7-8 months. And, I had a tough time explaining the concept to the users. So, we had to shut it down.
Did you lose money doing it?
Oh, a lot of money. Yeah.
What is a lot? Is it like $100,000?
Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. More than that?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it's the whole, we worked on the product for 8 months, built the product and all that. And, but in the end, we realized that it's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, on one-on-one conversation, I was not able to explain the value proposition of the product. Mm-hmm. So we decided that, it's not worth pursuing. Right. Let's be practical about it and
how about in Cerebrata, you had your first products which were successful and you went commercial and you start getting customers who are paying for it. From that time to the time you sold, were there any challenges along the way that you had to overcome?
Obviously the challenge was to keep the bar high, right? I mean, people started expecting certain things from us, right? So that was a challenge for us, right? I mean, not to mess up, right? I mean, once you have built some reputation, it's very, once you have fallen from grace. So, that's what, kept me awake at night, that, I was very particular about, things get tested properly and all those kinds of things. So
did everyone, everything work out smoothly after the first commercial?
First commercial product, yeah. So we launched first commercial product in January. The next commercial product we launch in April. And the third commercial product we launch in September. So,
of 2010.
Of 2010, yeah. We had three products.
When did you decide to sell the company?
In August 2010.
In August itself. Why? It was going very well. You were what revenues were you making at that time?
Surprisingly, not much revenue, right? But more than the revenue thing, see, what I wanted to do is... I wanted to sell it to Redgate, right?
Sell it to Redgate already at that time.
Yeah. So I approached them. Right. So Redgate at that point of time, they had this thing called a $1 million contest, right? So what they did at that point of time was that if a company has a product and they want to sell it, right, they could approach Redgate and Redgate will see if the product, kind of aligns with their products, right? So they would acquire them, right? Before selling Cerebrata, I considered Redgate as one of the companies who were extremely successful, right, in building products on Microsoft stack, right? And I wanted to learn, how are they doing it, right? Plus, I was, I'm genuinely, in fond of that company, their culture and everything. So, I mean, so they have this, Redgate book, right? And you should download it from their website. It's an amazing book, right? So, I wanted to work with them and that was the reason I wanted to sell that company sell my company to them, so that I can learn a lot of things from them.
What does that book talk about?
It talks about Redgate as a company, what they do,
I see, as a culture.
As a culture, yeah.
Got it.
So, yeah, so I approached them and I said, okay, this is what, I do.
So you approached it as a part of the $1 million contest that they were running, right?
Right.
So you applied for that contest and was it like the Shark Tank thing where they interview different people at different stages and they keep progressing? How did that contest work?
No, I mean, so I said, okay, this is what I want to do. And they said, okay, fine, so we started talking and then I think we talked for about 4 or 5 months, mm-hmm. So I wrote to them in August and then, they invited me to come to UK in December to talk about, the deal and everything. And unfortunately, the deal did not materialize at that time, right? So, instead of negotiating with them on, I said, guys, there is no point in, haggling over the money. Mm-hmm. Let me go back. And then, we already started working on version 2 of our products.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, first version, we just wanted to make sure that the product is out, it is selling and everything, right? So there was no consideration for architecture or, code or anything like that. Then, we kind of took a step back and said, hey, now we want to write, much better manageable code and everything. So we started writing V2 of our products, right? So in December, when I went there, I said, okay, guys, we are working on version 2 of the product,
uh-huh.
which is going to be even better than version 1, right? So let me do that and then come back. Right. And then we will see if there is an interest from your side, we will take it forward.
Okay.
Right. So, and then in June, we were about to release version 2 of our product. So I said, okay, I've done this thing. Do you want to see it? And they said, fine. So we got on Skype. I demonstrated them the application and they said, okay, we are impressed with what you have done in 6 months. Let's talk more. So then we started talking about the deal and everything.
So when did the acquisition happen finally?
October.
October of 2011.
11, yeah.
I see. What did they buy it for?
What?
What did they buy it for?
That's top secret. Yeah.
Okay. But is it over $1 million?
No, it was not.
Okay.
Not.
Okay. Can you give me a range at least?
The thing is that, see,
it's
the
motivating
thing
to,
is that,
yeah.
I did not negotiate a single dime this time,
mm-hmm.
right? Because see, what they offered me, I thought it was very reasonable,
mm-hmm.
right? So I said, okay, fine. So they gave me the numbers and I said, fine, where do I sign? It was like that.
Why?
Right?
Why not? Why not negotiate? Like the first time you tried to
do
that, right?
It's something that, if I feel the price is right, what's the point in negotiation,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I could get what, 100,000 more, but then, I was totally satisfied with, whatever they were offering me. So not even a single dime I negotiated with them on that.
And then you continue to work with them, right? After that also?
Yes. So I worked with them for 18 months and then we parted ways.
So how did you celebrate selling your company? Was that a happy moment for you?
To be honest, I was a bit nervous. Actually, on the day I signed the papers, I was very nervous,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether or not I should do it or, that kind of thing. But in the end, it was, I think I made a right decision.
I see. And did you have your learnings from 1999 incorporated into this time selling? Because the first time you tried to do it, you didn't get paid anything, right?
So, yeah. I mean, this time at least I got paid. last time I did not get paid at all.
Yeah.
So, this time at least I got paid. And it was good. I mean, the whole experience... to take a company from, inception to to acquisition. I think, you know, that was an experience in itself.
Yeah. So you didn't do anything to celebrate? You didn't take a trip to Europe or
No, not really. I mean, you know, I think, what did we do? I mean, you
how did you
know,
celebrate with your employees at least?
not so, yeah, I think, you know, so, you know, I mean, you know, my friends are really jealous of my employees, you know. So, my team members, they have been to almost every five-star hotel in Udaipur. And there are very many five-star hotels, right? So I mean, you know, we celebrated, you know. So I think when we the whole selling thing, we celebrated it at another five-star hotel. We went out for fancy dinner and all that.
I
So
see.
we did, yeah. I mean, you know, so celebration was never an issue. I mean, you know, we sold our first license on 1st of January itself. So on the day we went live, we sold our first license, and I think on 4th or 5th of January, we actually went out for a fancy lunch, right? And spent more money than we had earned. So,
This was after your
yeah.
first commercial product in January
This
2010.
was our first commercial product, yeah.
I see.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, so yeah, I mean, you know, so the team had a great time, and then, yeah, I mean, you know, they got bonuses and everything, so they were happy
Great.
with that.
Great. So how do you think the interview went so far, Gaurav?
It was not an interview, right? It was you and me chatting. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like to keep it that way. But
Yeah.
honestly, on air, I'm going to publish this is what you're going to say also. But I want to know, is there anything that I can do better?
No, I think you're good. I mean, you know, just do what you are doing, right? I mean, you know, you make people comfortable, and yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Okay. Anything else you
Yeah.
want to add before we close out here?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, if you have any more questions, I mean, you know, we can talk about them, but
What is the let me ask you like a couple of two questions I have if you so one is first one is what resources helped you along this journey because starting your own company can be a very daunting task right and what helped you and what can you guide the listeners with resources for helping in their journey?
I mean, you know, so there are, I mean, especially, I mean, if you talk about, so there are two or three things, right? I mean, you know, one is obviously if you're building a product, right? I mean, you know, so there is a help there, right? So that's one part of it. The second one is if you are, you know, moving from US to India and doing something here, right? So that's another part of it. So let me answer the first one, the product one, right? So, you know, one thing I have realized is that people are willing to help, right? So don't feel that you are alone, right? And you know, don't be shy, you know, in seeking help, right? I mean, you know, when I wrote to Neil Davidson about how I should price my product, I did not know about him. You know, for me, he was the CEO of Redgate, and Redgate was a big deal to me, right? And I wrote to him, and his greatness was that he replied back, right? And he guided me, right? And same is the deal with Paldi. And you know, same is the deal with I reached out to a number of Microsoft folks, right? And seeking advice, and you know, they helped me out, right? So, but you know, the thing is that you have to be sincere when you're asking for help, right? I mean, you know, so now, you know, I kind of do the same thing. I mean, people come, you know, people write to me and say, hey, I'm stuck here, or you know, can you help me with this? You know, can you talk about, you know, your experience moving to India and all that, right? So, you know, I have some people, and there was one guy who was settled in New Zealand, and he moved to India, and you know, we talked, right? So we talked a lot. Dinesh is another example, right? I mean, you know, we talked a lot, and you know, Dinesh is now, it's the other way around. I go to Dinesh for advice on a number of things, right?
Yeah.
But
so Dinesh is the past guest on the interview, and his interview is at breakingtheborders.com/Dinesh Pandey, everyone who wants to check out. But yeah, so you are encouraging people to reach out. So is it fair game for someone listening to reach out to you?
Definitely, definitely. Well,
like, what is the best way to do it? How to reach you? I was going to ask you this later, but since you mentioned,
okay,
you can tell it now.
Yeah, anyway, I mean, you know, so I have my blog at gauravmantri.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, go to contact us page, write me there, mm-hmm. right? Or, you know, reach out to me via LinkedIn. So, mm-hmm. you know, just connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, but, you know, the thing is that is, you know, be sincere, you know, when you are seeking help, you know, not from me, but from anybody else, be sincere that yes, you know, you really need help. You have done your work, right?
Yeah.
You know, I had some friends, you know, who every year, you know, for last 2-3 years, and now they have stopped doing it, but they used to ask me, you know, how is it like settling in India and all that. And, you know, so, you know, I first year I did that, right? I said, okay, you know, these guys are genuinely interested in moving back.
Mm-hmm.
Second year, I said, okay, fine, you know, let me do that. You know, from third year onwards, I've stopped responding to their emails, right? Because I know that they're not coming back. I mean, you know, then they're wasting my time.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah, I mean, so people come and if they ask for my help, you know, I will be more than happy to, you know, to help them out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, anyway,
I will leave the links to your LinkedIn, Twitter, and your website in the show notes page as well.
Okay. So that's on the, you know, on the professional front, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the personal front, yeah, I, you know, coming back to India, I think it's tough, right? It's actually very, very tough. I mean, especially, you know, considering how much time have you spent in the US, but, you know, so always realize that, you know, India is different than US. India will always be different than US. And there is a certain, you know, there is a certain rhythm of life here in India. So, I mean, you know, you gain some, you lose some, right? So just be cognizant, just be aware of that fact that, okay, you know, yes, you know, when you decided to come to India, you have gained something, right? You know, yes, you have lost something, but then again, you have gained something. So value what you have gained, right? I think that will make your life so much easier.
What was your gain personally, Gaurav, for you?
Professionally, a lot. And so, you know, obviously, you know, I got recognized, you know, so now people know me. I mean, I think that's the big thing, especially, you know, in Azure world, people know about me,
mm-hmm.
right? That the kind of work that I have done. So I think that's a big achievement for me, you know, on the
as a part
front.
Of like, since you moved to India, you said you gained some, you lose some, right? Personally, I'm curious to know, what was your biggest personal gain?
To be close to the family.
Mm.
That's the biggest plus. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so you get to stay close to your family. I think that's a big thing.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gaurav. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Rohit, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in. To get updates on latest episodes, make sure you subscribe with your email by going over to breakingtheborders.com. If you know anyone good as a guest, shoot me an email. I will reach out to the guest, get hold of them, and ask them all the questions that you have. My email is rohit@breakingtheborders.com. Thanks again, and have an amazing day.